The long wait is over. We finally find out the fate of Jon Snow, or do we? Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 1, The Red Woman. Stay with us, we'll find out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We're back,
guys. It has been a long haul, but we are here. And my name is Kyle Maddock, and joining me tonight on the panel, I have Kristen Snyder.
Hey, guys.
Sand. And I have Sarah Stratton.
Hello.
And we got Ryan Malady way over there.
Bella Morghulis, everybody. Yeah. Bella Morghulis.
Bella Dojeras.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm sitting here right here at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV in the live chat with all of these awesome AfterBuzz fans, these Game of Thrones fans, best in the world. Go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV to join the live chat. And check us out on Twitter, hashtag ABTV Game of Thrones.
Yes. Let's get into this.
So we ended last season with Jon Snow, of course, and here we are. Let's just start off with a bang. Let's start off with Jon Snow.
That was the saddest moment in TV history.
Are you saying this is a bang? I'm saying this is horrible torture.
This is a fizzle out for you?
I don't care what anyone says. I don't care that HBO has come out and said that he is dead. Until I see his body burned, or his eyes blue, or someone try and freaking resurrect him, I have no idea what's going on with
that's
him.
That's very romantic.
I agree with Sarah, because normally when someone dies, we see the next episode, we see the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get the funeral.
We didn't get anything.
I don't think he's dead.
We have them finding the body. We have Davos coming in, sort of taking over, when really he didn't really need to do any of that. He could have just been like, I'm out of here.
He's got no Stannis, though.
He's a good guy. Davos.
He is a good guy. What's that, Ryan?
He's got no Stannis.
He's got no Stannis.
But does he even know he has no Stannis? Well, I mean, I guess Melisandre come back, but that hasn't been encountered.
Right.
Davos hasn't given us a reaction to the fact that Stannis killed his daughter. There's these things that I need. I need these emotional scenes.
So they teased us. We don't get the answer. Some of us think he is still coming back. I'm sure some people might have given up hope, although he's dead. I highly doubt it.
He's dead. But I think he's coming back.
Yeah.
This is a Princess Bride moment. He's mostly dead.
Well, this is the same argument we've been having for how many months now has the show been off the air?
Too long.
So we don't need to discuss that any further, because hopefully we'll find out pretty soon about what exactly is happening to him. But we do have this turmoil going on because of his death.
Yes.
Right now we have Alistair Sorn sort of just stepping up and being like, yep, I killed him. What do you think about that? And he's got all these people with him, and then there's this small contingent of Night's Watch who are for Jon Snow, are sort of holding out, and they've got Ghost. And how do you see that situation playing out?
I mean, anyone who has Ghost on their side is going to win, obviously. Did you see Ghost's eyes? They were like blood red.
Blood red.
That's a loyal dog right there.
Well, he is an albino wolf, so red, I mean.
I mean, right now, they are the underdogs of the scenario. Like, But there's hope.
They're trapped
there's
in a room.
There's so much hope.
They got a direwolf, but they then have they, a have, direwolf, they have the leadership of
they
Davos.
They have Davos. They have... Can we still call her the Red Woman?
The Gray Woman, I think, would be more of an appropriate name for her.
And there's a chance that they have outside forces coming back, whether that's wildlings or...
So do you believe it is wildlings that they clicked on? Because they didn't actually say the word.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that he went after the wildlings to recruit them.
And who's leading the wildlings as of now?
Tormund Giantsbane.
Giantsbane. And he had an endearment for Jon Snow. I mean, they kind of...
They had this love-hate thing going on.
Yeah, this love-hate relationship. And for him to find out that Jon Snow has been slain, I think that, you know, there's still wildlings north of the wall. Is that right?
Well, I'm sure there's a few stragglers and stuff, but I believe the majority of them they gut. South of the wall.
The main people we have north of the wall is Bran. Like, that crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's who we're tracking beyond there. Any other wildlings aren't anyone we really know.
Now that I think about it, yes. When Stannis showed up, Mance's army scattered, so there are wildlings all over the north still. But Tormund brought a good group of them together and brought them south of the wall.
Right.
Upon Jon's request. Do you think Alistair Storm's gift of amnesty to Davos and his men is honest? Or do you think
Thorn?
He will turn out?
No. Thorn is a very interesting character in that he always kind of rides that line of being an absolute awful person. And also kind of being truthful. Like, what he said was true. His mm-hmm. whole speech about he's never, like, directly broken an order, but how he goes about living doesn't feel noble or honorable. And, like, he fully admits that he killed someone. So he technically has, I feel like, mostly been a man of his word. But I also feel like there's just an always, like, a sneaky underlying note where maybe he told you this, the like, half the truth. Yep. But someone else could kill him and be like, oh, I didn't kill you.
Oh, I didn't do that.
It wasn't my hand on the sword.
Kristen?
I think we're going to see that play out. I think they're going to, as part of their plan of attack, sort of act like maybe they're surrendering. Just, you know, to see it for our eyes, too.
So they're going to make Alistair believe that they believe him.
Yes. Okay. And I think that's going to be their plan of attack on Alistair and the Night's Watch.
Or some, like, Goonies set up and just booby traps as they come through the door.
There you go.
Who knows?
I think Davos is, like he said, he's well-versed in matters like this. He's been in this situation before, and he knows that, I mean, they're trapped in a room. It's a tricky situation. I don't think that Thorne is he's going to let, you know, these guys who are guarding the body of his proclaimed traitor.
Yep.
Go without a fight.
Very true. We don't have any reason to really doubt Davos's feelings on the subject matter. Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Kyle, because
I didn't do it.
I mean, you...
Innocent.
I always turn to you. I always am going to turn for you for the things to make clear kind of the rules of this universe.
I'll try now. It's caught up to the books.
I know. Are our book reader, so I go to you to clarify the rules.
Oh, don't make me look dumb on that. I'm like, what do you got?
But
what do you got?
How long does it take for a dead body to turn into a white? And is it dead bodies in the north, or do you have to be slain by a white to turn into a white? Like, I'm confused basically why they've always been so adamant about burning everyone the moment they die in the north, but they haven't been adamant about burning Jon Snow's body, and that the traitor people also, the people who claim Jon Snow is a traitor, also didn't leave his body burned.
The theory is that there is magic in the wall that prevents that from happening.
Mm. Okay.
So they may have established that in a previous season when there was the whites in the Lord Commander's chamber, I believe in the first season. But I believe they know that there's the whites and the White Walkers can't pass the wall because there's some form of magic there, and it also prevents the resurrection of them turning into it.
What about the white that was our first introduction to, like, Ghost being a badass dog when the white tried to attack the Lord Commander?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that
Yes, that's what I was just there was something like they
like there was a loophole before.
Yeah, I can't exactly remember.
Like, they were killed north of the wall and brought back.
It was something like that. Okay. There was a logical reason why that happened. Mm-hmm. And I can't recall it at the moment. I apologize about that, but
or yeah. Maybe someone in the chat will come with it. It's just like, it's always been such a big deal. Yep. Even after all the battles when the wildlings were attacking the wall, it's just always been like, we need to burn these bodies immediately. Mm-hmm. My advice is to burn these bodies. And Jon Snow's just like chilling there, like Snow White, just like,
oh, I like that. Like,
Jon Snow White. Well, you know what? Sure. To touch on your point, Sarah, maybe he will be burned. Maybe they will burn his body, but we do have a woman in red who worships a fire god, and maybe he will rise from the flames or something like that.
Yeah, speaking of magic, let's get to the lady in red. There's a little surprise. That's something that the book readers have had a belief for a while.
Why did you guys believe that?
There's something there. There's some sort of detail in the book that makes you think that way, that she is not quite who she sees. And there's another reason, too, I don't really want to talk about, because I still don't know if it's happening or not. But, yeah, she has this glamour where she is projecting this illusion.
That's
self.
What we're going to call it. It hasn't been addressed yet in the show, but we're going to call that, it, but it a glamour.
It has been called a glamour.
Okay.
Yes.
A glamour.
Is it the necklace?
Put that in a magazine.
I believe it is, right? That ruby necklace, because it seems magical, because there's a point where she drinks the poison at the beginning of season 2 when mm-hmm. we're first introduced to her, and the thing glows and burns the poison away. So there's a belief that this is maybe the focus of her energy or something along those lines.
Okay.
Right. I'm getting a lot of great nicknames for this new red woman here on the live chat. Brittany Books calls her the Red Granny. Keanu Gonzaga, the Old MILF.
Oof.
I mean,
does she have a child?
I mean, she did give birth once.
She has a shadow baby.
Yes, of course.
Price White calls her Gandalf the Lady.
Gandalf lady.
She did kind of look like Gandalf.
Do you guys feel like there's power in the necklace, though? Because I was like, put it on, John.
Yeah, that's Kristen's theory. Yeah. It would just be great if he turned into a woman. Just John.
There you go. I believe that gem has some sort of power, but then it's the actual person that channels the energy from R'hllor, because we saw Thoros before bringing back Beric Dondarrion, and he didn't have any sort of gem, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. So there is a magic that they can channel very cleric-wise through their gods, or through their god. That is seems to be separate than the actual gem.
I thought it was interesting that this old red woman we have here, I felt very much like she was giving up. Like, she seems so disheartened.
She kind of failed in a lot of her visions.
Yeah, her visions are failing, the people around her dying. Like, it just, when she let it go, it felt like she was doing so much more than just getting ready for
bed.
Did you
feel sympathetic towards her at that moment?
She looked cold.
Well, I was getting over my anger of her not trying to save John and resurrect him. Like, I don't understand why that hasn't been attempted, but I do feel bad for her. Like, I feel like she's losing her faith, and that's all she's ever really had.
She's like Princess Fiona in Shrek, you know? She can't... She turns into this ogre at night. Poor girl.
Poor girl.
I want to know, though... Okay, so this fight is definitely going to happen. Probably next episode between, you know, Thorne and Davos. Okay. So... what's going to happen with John's body? Are they going to try to take the body with? Is this going to be stretched out over a bunch of episodes? Is John going to come and save the day?
Very good question. We will have to see and find out. I don't quite know. But let's move out of...
Before we do, I do think that there's some interesting points in the chat where people are even going so far as when she gets into bed, they thought she was letting herself die.
Whoa.
Yes. I mean, that didn't cross into my mind, but a lot of people, it seems, are saying they thought she got into bed and died.
It did look like she was going to kill herself.
You know what would be interesting if she has given up and the person that brings her back is Davos? Who's like, no, we need you. It's time to fight.
He puts it back on.
And he brings her back to, like, doing her thing. I think that would be a cool turnaround for that.
That would be. Yeah. Brings her back to bring him back to bring...
He's been so against her, and now he might need her. So, we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
So, moving on from that, let's stay up in the north. Let's go to Winterfell. We have Miranda dead and Ramsay giving this beautiful speech, followed by...
Yeah, dinner.
Just throw her to the dogs.
That's what she would have wanted.
It's very, you know, utilitarian. Yeah. Just like...
He's pragmatic.
Burial plans.
Dogs gotta eat. Would you expect anything more from Ramsay, though? I mean, those kind words were about as heartfelt as we've ever seen him.
We'll ever see. And then he switches right back around.
Yeah.
They are not.
He's worried about losing
character.
his claim to his throne.
Yes. Roose is very upset that he let Sansa go because he needs Sansa. And there's the threat there that if you don't get Sansa back and give me a legitimate heir, my wife might have a boy and you'll be worthless.
You'll be a bastard again. Sorry
you'll
about
be
that.
Worthless.
But it's okay because they caught them pretty quickly.
So we have that. Anything you guys need to talk about that? Or?
Speaking to the reveal of the dead body, we have these cold bodies throughout the episode, which to me was really pulling towards the marketing. We've been seeing all of these images of just like dead, blue, ghostly faces. Mm. And I thought it was going to be a theme for the whole episode. And I was like, it kind of made me dread it as we were going through it. I was like, just people are going to die. This whole time, people are just going to keep dying.
Yeah, I love this show.
Right, like this is, who's going to die next?
They're all going to die.
But
a lot of them did.
There you go.
Slowly, but a lot of them were kind of already dead, and we just revisited their deadness.
Speaking of not dying, we have Theon and Sansa surviving the fall from the wall.
Yeah,
miraculously.
A lot of people thought that was going to be a suicide jump. We never really did get to see what they landed on or how that panned out. I'm okay with that.
They landed on some snow.
Yeah. I used to jump off my roof in Colorado onto snow. I mean, if it snows...
Oh, you're still here.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Brianna Tarth came and helped me out.
You're a crazy man.
It's just believable. Believable.
Believable. So then we have... they stop for a moment after crossing the river. And Theon tries his best, or not very well, to help her out a little bit there.
She went that way.
Did you guys start to like Theon a little here?
Yes.
Are you coming to my side, come to the dark side and like Theon a little bit?
I do like Theon again. I feel like I'm liking Theon again because he's becoming the man we knew so many seasons ago when he was, you know, with the Stark family.
I think it's funny how you're referring to him as Theon because, I mean, he became Reed.
He's Theon to me.
A whole nother persona, you know? He had a whole thing with his psyche and his mutilation. He's Reek, but you're right. Yeah, I think he's taking giant steps or leaps.
I feel like they're doing everything in their power to make him forgivable. Mm-hmm. Like, he's escorting her. He's hugging her. He's self-sacrificing right when we're all cringing and being like, someone help Brienne and Podrick. Like, he's the one who helps. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're doing everything in their power to put him in a good light. I'm still not there. I still haven't forgiven him because I'm sorry, but if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't be in this position, and it's kind of partially all his fault.
You can't blame a guy for trying, though.
True.
He's trying.
Kristen, tell me about the awesome moment that comes after this. I want to hear your badass version of this.
Oh, Brienne swearing her life to Sansa. I mean, I'm really happy that that happened, but I was also going to say that I feel like Theon has also done that to Sansa. I mean, like you said, he's trying, but he's going to keep doing that, and I feel like she doesn't just have Brienne now sworn to her, but she also has Theon and Podrick and everyone who's in that group, and I love this new dynamic duel that has come together, this little group that we're...
Sorry, Fantastic Four?
Yeah, we're obviously going to be following them as they travel now to the Wall.
The
Is that where
four,
they're going?
I
feel like
so.
Everyone's kind of angling towards the Wall and Castle Black right now.
Imagine if Jon knew how much everybody's like, yeah, just go to Jon. He'd be like, come on, guys. I don't know. I can't do anything about this.
How was it to see Podrick fighting, though?
I rooted him on. Podrick's so likable that when he like got it, you're like, yes, we got that guy. Because he got one guy, I think.
He did.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
This episode had kind of three unbelievable moments for me throughout, and one of them was, though, that Santa was just right around the corner, and the dog's just like this is.
He's like, I'm
and then
Brand
just
run away.
Shows up, and it was just like this whole scene happened where all of these different parts played in like 20 seconds, and I was like, I'm not sure about the believability here, but I'll take it.
I found that, he's got good dogs.
Yeah, I found that to be a beautiful moment when Brienne, what were we saying? She's now the sworn sword to Sansa when she knelt down and she gave like the very knightly. And in that world, 100% of the time masculine, like, here is my sword, I pledge it to you with the official words, and Sansa, like, had that awesome moment where she stands up and she starts to say the words, she stumbles a little, Podrick helps her, but she knows that this is, like, people are coming to her, that this is the beginning of something, and she wanted to get it right and do it the correct way. And
that also highlights a point, though, that even though, yes, she tried to do it the correct way, it also highlighted that Sansa doesn't really know the correct way to rule. They've been pointing that she is the key to the North, that she, as a Stark, is going to have people who follow her. But she's been fighting for herself for so long, either from people, like, torturing her or just seeing poor examples of power. I felt like this was almost highlighting, like, she's not prepared.
Oh, no, she never has been. She's just been yanked from one place to another, you know. I mean, the last person she had any kind of endearment for was Peter Baelish, and he's gone.
Yeah, where
but
is
like,
he?
These examples, he's like, if Sansa's put on, like, if everything worked out well, and battles happened, and all of a sudden Sansa was, like, wardeness of the North, could she even do the job?
Nah.
Not right now, but she's still learning.
You don't think this? You don't think the stuff she's been through has been good training?
I think
to
it's
learn
good
the
training
ways
to
of
like,
the world.
I think, so.
I think like survival of the fittest, but like
you
survival of the self, and not thinking about maybe always working for the better good of all the people. I think Sansa is learning how to skirt the edges and figure out how to deal with people who are corrupt and protect herself and stay alive and. But I don't know if she's learned to look after those around her. She doesn't. That's what it said to me. Like she doesn't know how to rule.
The last season, I feel like we were seeing Sansa as a whole new woman. You know, she had a whole new hairdo. You know, went from like
feathers.
Red to like black feathers. I mean, she was becoming more of a strong player in the game. It seemed like she was learning how to play the game. Peter Baelish's little finger was teaching her.
Yeah. Yes. A couple seasons ago. Yeah.
And now I feel like she just. three steps back in this season.
A lot of people had that complaint last year. Because in season three was when Peter Baelish took her out of King's Landing, and she had that moment in the Eyrie where she stepped up for Peter and she kind of started playing the game. And then last season she became this prisoner of Ramsay, basically. And a lot of people thought it was a very big step back. Mm-hmm. And I believe Sophie Turner has said this is the season where Sansa steps it up.
Steps it up.
Okay. Okay.
So, girl,
all right,
bring it, because we are ready for it. I want her to be awesome.
Yeah.
I am like, I can't wait for it. So, yeah, we get that. And then where are we moving to next, guys? Let's go to King's Landing and Cersei and her happy moment of having her daughter return to her and turn to ashes in her mouth. There we go. Jaime returns. The casket of Marcella is right there on the boat. And Cersei's once again not having a good day. And Sarah, I want you to take this one away because you looked into some prophecies and stuff that I think you want to tell us
so
about.
So it really brought it up. The moment that we see Marcella's ship casket coming in, it is covered by an actual gold sheet. And the moment that came across, I was like, prophecies, we need to remember. And she does go over them a little bit. And this, yes, these are from Maggie the Frog. Also, this is going to be a bit of a spoiler because this is comparing It's comparing the books to what we've heard in the seasons.
Spoiler alert!
I'm sorry. God. So just still listen until I don't know.
Turn it down
this.
For a second, and then we'll do this when you can listen.
Thank
again.
You. So basically, what we heard when we saw young Cersei talk with Maggie the Frog, the prophecy was something along the lines of, "Your husband, the king, is going to have 20 kids, and yours, gold shall be their crowns and gold their shrouds." That's what we heard in the season. But in the book, or what you find in the wiki, it says that prophecy continues to say, "And when your tears have drowned you, the Valkonar shall wrap his hands about your pale white throat and choke the life from you." And Valkonar in High Valyrian means little brother, so that's a whole another spin of things. But they are reiterating this has some truth. Whether or not they're going to pull from the truth from the book and continue on, or they left off that second half of the quote because they're changing things for Cersei's future, who knows? But I really, I do like that they keep drawing you back. They were at least informative. They referenced everything that's been said. Spoilers over.
Okay, we're good.
We're back to just talking about the show.
So the trend as it's going now, Joffrey's dead. Marcella's dead. And so Tommen is next, according to the prophecy. Is that?
He's their only child that's left.
Ugh.
It did say children.
Not Tommen. I like Tommen.
He's so weak. He does nothing. Why do you like him?
Well, he hasn't had a chance to do anything yet.
Because he's sweet.
He's such a waste.
He's
he
had a
might
chance.
Do something.
No.
He might. We saw in the upcoming things that the...
I want to know what Ryan's thinking. Ryan.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, Tommen did have a chance. I mean, yeah, he's young. He's a young guy. But when his mother and his wife got locked up by the faith militant, and he just kind of said,
I can't do anything.
I think that's when public opinion of Tommen kind of went down a little bit. he's right. He's not quite down there with Ollie, but he's down there.
As far as you guys are unforgiving. He has a mom who says, no, don't do it. And he's like,
oh, no, we're brutal. It's cutthroat.
Yeah, you guys are, with Game of Thrones, you win or you die is right. You guys are,
I thought that scene with Marjorie was, like, really bland.
I'm trying to figure out.
Just to remind us that she's still there.
Yeah.
Who does the High Sparrow want to be in charge?
God.
God.
Yes.
Or the gods.
All of them.
But that's kind of unrealistic. Like, he has to put
his...
I think he has to put his allegiance with someone eventually.
Whoever is the most pure.
I think he put it to...
Do we have any pure people in this show?
Well, that's his job. His job isn't to, like, kind of figure out who's going to be sitting on the throne. His job is to make sure that everybody goes through these religious steps that they need to do.
So, you know, this is a game. You have to pick alliances, allegiances.
Well, he doesn't seem to care very much.
He's an independent.
Can't buy him off, can't do all that. So moving on from there, we head down to Dorne, where it's a happy day in the place of red. We start with Doran Martell and Illyria talking... just kind of chatting, and things go south quick. This was a big surprise to me here. The killings of not only Doran, but his bodyguard, Arya Hota, who we don't really get to know in the
show. Second unbelievable moment.
Sorry. Oh, I wanted them to do awesome things. So Bashir good. From Deep Space Nine, come on. did you guys see this coming? What did you think, Kristen?
I didn't see it coming. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Sand Snakes, but I just... I love that, you know, women are obviously going to be in power now at Dorne. I love that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just a reflection of our world right now. Just kidding. But anyway, I didn't see it coming.
Kyle, she's going to murder you.
Oh, I thought I was just going to worship her and everything was going to be good. I serve you.
But no, I didn't see it coming. And I actually thought, you know, the killing of Dorian was very, like... low key, like he was still talking while he was bleeding out.
He was my son, Tristane.
I really enjoyed Tristane's death much more.
You are sick and twisted.
What yeah. did you guys think?
they cut to the chase real quick on that one. Who it was? Obara Sand.
I get
Obara
them mixed Sand. Up. To be perfectly honest,
Obara and Nymeria.
It was Nymeria. Is Obara.
Let's go to the chat.
Obara.
Let's see
who killed Tristane. Live chat. I believe it was
I get their names confused.
And forgive my pronunciation. I don't hear their names.
And in the book,
often.
There's like eight of them or seven of them, and there's right. only three, and I don't know which one.
But you know what? The killing off of that line, it was surprising. I didn't expect it, but I wasn't surprised. I'll say it that way. Because they had to make a move. I mean, they killed Marcella. There's a war coming, and it was either they were going to pay the price or they were going to fight the battle, and that's what they wanted to fight, so they had to make the only move they had left, which was take over. Isn't that called a...
I feel...
Usurping?
Usurping the throne?
Usurping the throne.
They took it.
It was a coup.
It just seems so rushed.
They usurped the throne. Yeah.
Dorne last season seemed like it was just kind of shoehorned in there, and then this season they were like, well, I guess we got to finish up this kind of thing, and they're just kind of like quickly moving on. I don't know if it's just been moving quick because Alaria is like the true player in Dorne, and that they just needed to get her on the throne in power there quick so that the true Dorne story can progress. I don't know. Or if they're just like, we just need to kind of finish up the Dorne thing quick.
Honestly, I'm totally fine. I think it's going to do a lot for the plot to have her in power. Mm-hmm. And to, because I think she is going to be more willing to call people to action, to fight, to do all of that,
well,
which
that
I think
is absolutely true.
Which we always need. But, however, I do think that they cheapen the story a little bit by having so many, like, backstabs in this. Our introduction, at least my interpretation of Dorne, was, yes, these kind of flamboyant fighters, but skillful, like, just so much fighting skill and passion and all these things. And the quickness of this, the multiple, like, the stab in the back of the bodyguard, like, the betrayal, the stab through the back of the head, never allowing for any real fights, kind of took some of the heart of Dorne away from me. Like, one of the things I liked about Oberyn so much was, like, he was so passionate and full of life that he was going to take people on, but it was always to their face. It was always this, like, regalness. And for me, taking power in the way they did, even though I'm fine with them now having it, I just kind of felt like it undermined their talent and their skills as warriors. And yes, it was quick and to the point, and we didn't have to spend that much time on the episode, but I wanted to see more fighting.
Well, you specifically had to get Dorne and Alaria saying... you wouldn't have made a good fighter. But Arya Hotai, yes, different story, absolutely. And Tristane, I was kind of hoping for that. And Ryan, what's up?
I was going to say, well, first of all, thank you, live chat, for confirming it was Barack Obara Sand. There was like a huge debate of the Obama Sand, Obamacare. That's great. Thank you, guys. But
Obara
so the Sands, I think sand is the term for
it's like
a bastard.
Snow,
it's the bastard
in the
children
south,
in the
right?
South, yes.
And to touch on your point, I think it's because these girls, bastards, always have something to prove. Look at the show, Jon Snow wanted to prove himself as a ranger. You know, you got Ramsay Bolton wanting to prove himself as a Bolton. And now you got these girls, the Sand Snakes. They want to prove themselves, and they do so with combat. So.
But stabbing people in the back is not a way to prove yourself, I think. I think taking someone taking someone on, fighting them is more honorable than stabbing them in the back.
All right. Well, there we go. Moving on from that, let's head out to Meereen. Let's head across the ocean. We get Tyrion and Varys just sort of walking around Meereen, kind of off on their own. Because Tyrion's in charge now. And he's just walking around the streets. It doesn't seem like the smartest thing to be doing. But they give some money to the poor lady, and they come across Kill the Masters and the new second line to that is Misa is a master. It seems like the Marine is turning on her a bit more and more as this progresses. We get that it looked like a red wizard. No, red wizard. It looked like another R'hllor guy. He had a red thing talking about, are you guys going to fight while Daenerys is gone? Now, I guess I might have blinked and missed it, but were they saying, are they going to fight for Daenerys while she's gone, for their own freedom? Or are they saying they're going to fight against what she has brought to Meereen?
I got from it their own freedom. I got that were they going to be like their own fire, basically. It didn't completely sound like a bad or a good thing. It sounded like a very like neutral for the people, get this city moving again type of speech.
Yeah.
To the point that I thought that the red religion, basically, could be swayed to whatever was going to ignite these people into not battling themselves and moving this city forward. I personally didn't take it as like a bad thing or a good thing. Okay. I took it as just like, come on, people.
I mean, slavery is all they know, and with her gone, I'm surprised they're not reverting back to slavery.
Well, I guess we don't really know how long she's been gone for. Mm-hmm. They didn't say it, so. Yeah, it seems like it's a transitional period, which is hard for any sort of civilization to go through something like that. So will the people fight? And then we have Tyrion come across the burning of the ships.
Oh. Mm.
Who's doing that? What's the point? Why? What's going on there?
I think it's obviously the leader of the Sons of the Harpy, who we haven't discovered yet. And like they said, they don't know their enemy. So I'm really hoping that it is someone that we've met before who we wouldn't suspect to be someone who would betray her, because that would obviously be in the Game of Thrones realm of something they would do.
I think it's someone new.
I think it's someone new.
I think it's someone. They've killed
leader,
so many people.
The leader
they
of the Sons of the Harpy?
Yeah.
I think I know who it is.
Who do you think it is?
And you know what?
Chat, leave for predictions?
Everyone at home, should I wait for predictions?
This is a Ryan theory. Here.
This is a Ryan theory.
This is a crackpot Ryan theory.
Crackpot Ryan theory.
He hasn't read the books. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been drinking lots of wine.
The drinking Game of Thrones. Okay, so do you remember the woman who was kind of caressing the Unsullied, comforting him in that...
in the brothel?
In the brothel.
Yes, I do remember.
And she cut his throat?
Yep.
We also see her kind of preaching, or, you know, we see her once again right before Ser Barristan was slain.
Okay.
We see her kind of directing the Unsullied, they went that way. You know, like, they went that way. And then she kind of, like, wipes her tears. She knows what she's doing. We've seen her twice. I think it's her. I don't know her name.
I'll jump on that.
I could jump on it being a woman. I'm not sure.
So we got the theory. What's the reason? Why burn Daenerys' ships to keep her from ever leaving?
Well, I think they want to kill her, period. So they don't want her to leave.
So they don't
want to
leave
her
so...
to be dead.
Okay.
I think they want to strip her of her power. Mm-hmm. So it's like kick them out with their only... basically naked with no belongings.
Gotcha.
I think. I really don't know. I'm making that up.
If this is a woman, she probably wants, you know, the power that Daenerys has. So maybe she feels like killing the queen, she could become the queen.
Very cool. Very cool. I think this might be one of those lingering book things that is still ahead of the show, so I'm not going to say anything.
I would say they did a very efficient job in burning what seemed to be all the ships.
All the ships.
Also, I feel like at least Daenerys' people... her supporters always seem to be running towards the fighting, which is nice. I feel like there's always people fleeing something, and you always have, like, the unprepared, without weapons followers of Daenerys, like, let's go figure out what this mess is. Like, we're not ready, but we're gonna go.
Let's go to Dorio the Explorio, right? Sorry, that was terrible. I apologize for that one.
I kind of liked it.
I really liked it.
You guys, these are the best two huntsmen ever. They find the smallest clues in the tallest grass.
they're so romantic, too.
Oh, jeez. There we go.
They're all, like, talking about... Dario's like, I hope I grow old and I'm as romantic as you are. Like, what?
Oh, yeah, it was very... Two like, romantics kind of having a conversation about the woman they both love. Mm-hmm. It was very... Mm-hmm. I was like, no.
It was nice. Then we were reminded that Jorah's got a little...
die.
He's got a little issue.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he has the... He was not protected.
He was not. So they not wearing protection that day.
So they find the ring... You guys thought that was a little unbelievable.
My third
we don't really need to talk about that too much.
Did we really need to?
We don't really need to talk about the ring.
It was kind of, at first it was like, okay, he walks right up, looks down, there's the ring. But I think it was because when you walk up, you see the Khalasar made like this
we
huge...
We do need to talk about it, Kyle.
Okay, right, I'm sorry. I tried to get past this, but...
You want me? All right, so when Dario and Jorah first ride up, they see this giant, you know, donut. I think
bullseye.
It was a big bullseye shape. And that's when the Khalasar came and swarmed around Daenerys, leaving a huge, like, donut shape. So, of course, he walks right into the center of it because that's what draws him in.
Yeah.
What happened here, you know? What happened here? Look down, and that's right where she dropped her ring.
I think it's
believable.
I agree.
Obviously.
I agree. Two believables, two not believables.
Moving on. I didn't say anything. I'm Switzerland.
Are you with the guys? Or are you?
I'm independent. Okay.
All right. There we go. Moving on. We actually go to Daenerys, who has seen better days. She is being dragged along by the Khalasars that she is with now, unbeknownst to them that she speaks their language. Gets a lot of bad words in her ear, what these guys are going to do to her. It's not very nice. And eventually she makes it to Khal Morro.
I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
M-O-R-O.
Morro.
He's no Drogo.
He's no Drogo. His braid is
not what he's going for. He's going for a Drogo.
He's trying. Yeah.
I want the Drogo.
Yeah. Because when their braids just get longer and longer, the better they are in battle. So Drogo had a much longer one and everything. But we get this thing. He's going to do all this stuff to her. He's going to make her the slave, and they're all going to have sex with her, and it's going to be absolutely awful until Daenerys finally steps up. She reveals her hand. At first, they don't believe her. Then eventually, she drops Khal Drogo's name, and all is, oof, okay. Woo.
Name drop.
Yeah. Is she going to add that to her list of titles? Khal Drogo's widow at the end of all the other
things. Widow of Khal Drogo.
Widow of Khal Drogo.
Dragons.
And at first it's like, all right, this is great, this is cool. And I feel like Daenerys knew better because she knows about the place where the widows go as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it was her only card to play, so I don't think she had much choice in that matter. I think she knew that that was going to be the fate.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was played that way. Because if that was her goal, then why even ask for them to take her?
Why not? Maybe they're not practicing Dothraki.
They're Dothraki, but they're not.
Yeah.
But now her new mission, do we all think she is headed toward this widow's city sanctuary?
As long as she's with that Khalasar, there's no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she's ever going to make it there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Drogon's going to swoop in and save the day, or Jorah and Dario are going to sneak her out, or something's going to happen, but I don't think
she's
ever
going to make
it.
I would love for her to make it there and rally the women.
You realize these are probably all these really old...
Dothraki. No, I don't think so. I mean...
It's going to be a bunch of Melisandres without her necklaces there.
I don't think so. I feel like the Dothraki seem to die young, right? So maybe not. Maybe they're a bunch of,
Dothraki
I don't think there's that many of them either.
Oh yeah, I don't know how many Khalasars.
What if it's awesome there though?
What if it's awesome?
What if it's great?
She's like, I don't even want to be queen anymore.
I feel like it's the women. Do you?
This is awesome.
Do you remember? I don't know if it's the same city. They haven't been specific enough for me to know. But do you remember when she had her birthing ceremony, and she had to eat the heart?
Yes.
And like there was the women around who were kind of like chanting, and she had to like to recite a speech. I feel like it's gonna be those type of women.
Like a bachelorette party all the time.
So you're saying they're vegan, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I felt like. I also thought this scene really played upon a lot of things we've already seen. Like, yes, we've seen Khaleesi use this tactic before of not saying she knows the language and actually using that to her advantage. We've also heard the talk about the witch. That is how the person who was introduced, who ended up causing Khal Drogo's death, that conversation was had by that Khalasar. Remember them saying they had to kill the witch, not let the witch near. It was the same conversation, but all of the roles were reversed.
Mm.
Now she was the focus. And Khaleesi, or when she was the Khaleesi Daenerys, she was the one who advocated for keeping this woman alive, keeping her apart, letting her try and heal the call, which led to his death. And now they switched it, where she's the one they said was the witch. Who knows if it'll play out similarly.
Yeah, is she going to save someone?
She going to save someone? She going to kill someone? Who knows?
I feel like she does need to get them on her side, because at this point she does need an army. So I would love if, you know, they pledged to her again and was her army. She needs help.
Pretty interesting. I mean, she has an army back in Marine.
They're getting sort killed.
Of. The Unsullied?
Unsullied are badass.
Are they, like, do we still have a lot of them?
There's quite a few. I mean, they were, like, one of the greatest armies in the world.
Oh,
I
they had, what, 8,000?
Well, we need more.
We need more.
Obviously, we've seen Daenerys do it time and time again, but always with help. You know, when she was at her worst, she got her dragons, and that's what kind of did it. Got her into Karth.
Yep.
And she's always had Jorah. She's always had, you know, someone to help her, someone to inspire her decisions and to inspire the people around her. But the dragons helped a lot.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to need something. If she can turn this call by herself, that's going to be amazing. But I think she's going to get some help.
I just want to say one more thing. I just don't think they would introduce them again to Dothraki for just this short little bit. Mm. You know, I feel like they have a bigger piece to play out.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's move on to everyone's favorite little assassin. Arya. Here we are. She is now blind. She can't see. She's begging. And she gets into a fight with the other little girl, whose name doesn't have a name yet?
We all just call her Awful Person. Awful. No, I call her Awful Person.
Hey, live chat, who's the name of the little, of the girl who attacks Arya in this episode?
Faceless Girl.
In the book, she's like, the little girl, or something like that.
Either way, I think it's safe to say Arya didn't see that coming.
Oh. Good night, everybody. No, so
and I'm done.
So here we go. This has got to be all part of the training.
Yeah.
Every day she's going to show up and probably beat up Arya until Arya learns how to fight without seeing. Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to have this montage with
Rocky music.
That would
make anyone a better fighter if you learn how to fight when you're blind.
Yeah. I mean, Daredevil, whole show.
There you go. It either makes you or breaks you. Right. That's that type of adversity. She's either going to like go try to run away or. You know, heaven forbid, commit suicide, or just learn to fight and fight back.
Do you learn think, with a supersonic hearing?
Do you think that this action upon No Name Girl coming out of her way and training Arya while she's blind is her own agenda, or she's been sent to do this by like the
Jaqen?
Yeah,
I think she knows how that place works, and I think she knows that it's part of the training. And so she must get sent out there. But I don't know if somebody actually goes to her, or she just knows the training well enough to know that this is her job, that she is going to walk out there and train with her.
I think so.
So the live chat is saying a few things about the girl who's training Arya right now. Waif or Quaithe?
Okay.
Quaithe. So either Quaithe. Or Waif.
Or the bully girl.
Oh, the bully girl. Or DJ Khaled.
Well, if they're saying it's Quaithe, that actually relates back to somebody in the second season who we meet, who has a mask on, who runs into Daenerys, I believe, and I can't remember which town it's in.
Was that?
But there's this woman in like this gold mask at this kind of party thing.
Kind of tells her where the dragons are, or tells Jorah where to find her.
Yep.
Okay.
So. Hmm. Maybe it harkens back to that. If we get a previously on of that character next week, we'll probably know that's true.
This is true.
Interesting.
Thank you, live chat, for being on top of that.
Very nice. So, what kind of time are we at? I don't even see. What are we? Are we?
We've been going for about.
We got time.
We got time.
2 minutes.
Good, wonderful.
There's so much I want
to
say.
Ryan, what do you got to say there, guy?
Okay. Well, all right. Honestly, I've been anticipating seeing Jon Snow come back. Come back. for like a year now, you know, and I want to anticipate where this is going. I want to talk about like what you guys think is going to happen, because
you want to talk about predictions right now.
we can do overall impressions
where this stacks up.
I want to talk about one other thing before we talk about John. I mean, how do you guys feel about, you know, now that the books have run out? Did you feel like, you know, the script was different? Because for me, it felt like there weren't those epic lines that used to be pulled from the books.
There was one line when Obara Sand killed Trystane, and Nim was like, "You're a greedy bitch," you know that? And I'm like, that was really Valley Girl of her, you know? That was like, that was like a modern,
it was
like...
It's not George.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we had our season premiere, and I probably couldn't tell you anything that really, really stuck out to me as a signature line of this episode. Not my favorite thing. I did like this for a season premiere. I thought that it looked great. It covered a lot. We hit on a lot of storylines. I'm going to rant and rave about the fact that I still don't feel like I know exactly what's going on with Jon Snow. But I guess that's why you keep watching the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the live chat, what do you think is going to happen with Jon Snow while we talk about it for a second? One thing that stands out to me, almost, I think the whole episode, I mentioned earlier, but when Lady Melisandre comes in, sees Jon Snow's dead body, she says, I saw him in the fire, fighting in Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And for her to say that, and then almost retire into like her...
I'm out.
to literally retire.
Kyle knows too much. He can't say anything.
No. That's my red woman. I'm out. I'm retired.
Done. Oh, okay.
I mean, she's always hinted at this huge battle in the snow, you know?
Yeah.
And at first it was Stannis. Mm-hmm. But this man, she definitely saw him fighting in Winterfell. Is that going to happen still? Is Jon Snow coming back, and is that going to happen?
I need to know. I tend to think it is. I mean, I believe we're almost the whole world, the Game of Thrones watching world, believes that Melisandre is going to bring Jon Snow back. And then he will be free from his vows, right? Because in the vows it says everything is until my dying day. And so the fact that he's died, he can legally get out of his vows now, and he'll be able to leave the wall, and he'll be able to fight for what his heart wants him to fight for, which is most likely Winterfell, either helping Sansa there, or whatever the case may be.
Okay.
If that doesn't happen, if he really, like, dies, I will be so upset, because I feel like we're losing people to root for. Yeah. At least I am. And maybe that's because I have forgiveness issues. Like, I haven't forgiven
Root for Theon.
So it's like, my people that I'm rooting for is going smaller and smaller. I have Arya, who's now blind, so I need her to, you know.
Basically all the Starks.
And all on her own. I'm not a huge, huge Bran person. I like Bran, but I never like gusto for Bran.
I like Raisin Bran.
Great, I'm so glad. We'll have breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
But then we have Daenerys, who I do root for, but Tyrion is with her, so that's kind of like, and he's one of my other go-tos, mm-hmm. but they're together. I'm not rooting for anyone in King's Landing at the moment. I'm not rooting for anyone who's at Winterfell at the moment. I'm losing people to, like, stand behind. So if we also lose Jon, I will be thoroughly sad.
Mm. Yeah.
Even, would you name him Gregorstein?
Gregorstein.
You're not pumped about Gregorstein?
I'm not rooting for Gregorstein. He's an awful person.
Okay, fair enough.
I do want to see him, like, pick some flowers. Like a Frankenstein.
Like him and Hodor just, like, hanging out. Imagine me and you. So
I feel like we are expecting him to be this, like, raging monster, and I just want to see him, like, very low-key.
Are you not going to be satisfied? Laying the daisies. Are you not going to be satisfied when he starts mowing down sparrows?
I mean,
aren't you going to get some sick twisted joy out of that?
I don't know if I'm going to or not.
I've told you, I have no one that I'm rooting for in King's Landing.
Yeah.
I need someone to get there, Jamie? That I want to win.
He can blow it up, really.
Jamie gave the whole speech. We didn't really talk about how it's me and you against Where's the rest little? Of the world.
Where's Littlefinger?
He's still in the airy.
But I don't...
Okay.
I'm also not rooting for him either.
I'm rooting for Jamie to kill Cersei.
Like, I like having these characters because I, like, hate them enough that I want to see them and want to see their plans, what happens to them. But I typically like characters that I really don't like to fight characters that I like and see who wins. I don't know. That's normally how plot's made.
Yeah.
I feel like we liked Jaime, though, at some point. And now that he's back with Cersei, I feel like we don't like him.
That's
so I just want him to strangle her and then get her out of the picture. I feel like he could be good again.
He could.
But right now, there's not a whole lot of... I don't know. I feel like, where is our power? Where is our power in this world at the moment?
The dragons.
Okay. I have a long list of predictions about Jon Snow.
Should we just roll into predictions?
Can we do predictions? Are we there?
I think we're there.
Is it time?
I think we're at predictions.
Yes!
There it is.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I love the studio, man.
Yes.
There's all kinds of fun lights and scary things in here.
Who is that?
So to start off with predictions, I think, the chat?
Do it?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the Jon Snow, what's going to happen with him? What's going on with Jon Snow predictions? The AfterBuzz TV fanship says, let's see, Anthony Bain says, resurrected by fire. Marley says he's obviously coming back.
Agreed.
MLN says Jon Snow is dead. The resurrected character will be different.
Very true. Mm. Agreed.
Kind of like a Gandalf the Grey to the Gandalf the White kind of thing. Like,
yes,
he's back, but it's not him.
He has to die to get out of the vows so that he can leave.
Oh, the vows are broken by death.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Boom.
Cat Vomit. Yes. Says he returns as zombie Jesus. It's not far off.
There's some theories that he's going to come back as a white.
I mean, that could work.
Fantasy Stats Guru says he will be raised by Melisandre and it will kill her because it's going to be the last use of her power.
I would agree with that. I mean, why else would they show us her age at this point?
Mm-hmm. Show her vulnerability, show her weakness. Mm-hmm. I can get on that.
Do you think she's going to give her life to resurrect Jon Snow?
That's what I felt. She was already taking off the necklace, and I felt like that was like a transferring of power. I thought she was going to put it on him.
Jon's going to have a nice necklace for the rest of the show?
That's what I wanted.
Since there's a lot of talk about burning and fire, mm-hmm. and we've also seen someone else burned in flames and not die. Bum, bum, bum.
Daenerys.
Mm. Yeah. Questions, predictions. Whoa. Theories.
It's like a game of fire and ice almost.
Yeah, I agree.
Other predictions. I think that Ilaria is obviously going to take King's Landing. That's what she wants.
She's going to just take it?
She's going to go there with an army. Obviously, we saw just lots of war coming. And I feel like that's next. I feel like that's the next war.
So if it is the Dornish versus the people of King's Landing, who do you want to win?
Obviously the Dornish.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
See, well, we've all gone against King's Landing. This is a problem.
Next week we had in the next week thing on, we had Ramsay saying that he might be attacking Castle Black. What's mm-hmm. going on with that? Why?
What's interesting is if he's going to be moving to Castle Black.
And the Wildlings are moving to
Castle
Black.
And the Wildlings.
Or at least maybe Tormund Giantsbane.
And Sansa. And Rhaegar and all them. They're all moving.
And Brienne.
Bran's north of the wall, though, right?
Yes, Bran's north of the wall. Yeah. Bran's quite north of the wall. So, I believe he's going over there because he thinks that Sansa headed towards Castle Black because it seems to be the place that all the Starks like to go or try to get to. So I think it's obvious that he's going to go after there. He's going to attack him just to find Sansa, burn it out, destroy the castle, mess up the Night's Watch just to get his girl back.
Can I ask
He's going to try.
Yep.
Can I get something straight here?
Yep.
Dorian was Martell.
Yes.
Right? Isn't Marjorie?
Tyrell.
Tyrell. I'm sorry. Wait, who else is... Is it just Martell? Is that who is against King's Landing right now? Just the Martell
the
and
Martell
the
Martell is the ruling family of Dorne.
Of Dorne.
Yep.
And so you have the Martell family was just overtaken by the Sand Snakes.
Ilaria, and you also have Peter Baelish who wants to take down kind of the King's Landing crew. And technically everyone else in the North pretty much wants to take down the King's Landing crew. But they're preoccupied with all of their own problems.
So everything's either going to be moving up to the north or down to King's Landing. Those are the two hot spots right
Boom,
now.
Boom, right now, absolutely.
1-2 punch.
And then, of course, Marine seems to be hot with all the ships burning. And
then, there we go.
Any more predictions, anybody?
We
got anything? We got dragons next week. We got the Sparrow versus
Bran.
Jamie. We Bran got
is
Bran
coming
showing
back.
Up. Will Hodor return?
Gregorstein's going to spill some blood for sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I also predict that our fans will subscribe to our YouTube channel so that they don't miss another episode. I believe that they will like, if they liked what they saw, they'll comment so that we can get a feel of what you guys think is going on and what's going to happen. And I also predict that they're going to follow me at Ryan Malady.
Oh, or me at Sarah_Stratton.
And maybe. Me at Cinematic Escape.
And I am at Kyle Maddock.
Not for long!
Thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV AfterBuzz episode review recap for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 1, The Red Woman. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bum 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 bum.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.